this is Lighthouse Chapel, and this is our second service.
That's right.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Amen. Wow. Amen. And, it's a blessing. You know, normally when you join a church, it's already large.
Yeah.
It's already a church.
Yeah.
But that's how you even identify it.
Yeah.
That's how you know that's a church.
That's
because
right.
There are already people in it.
Yeah.
And you go and you join it.
That's right.
But few people have the opportunity to be part of a church when it's beginning.
Wow.
I mean, it's actually not a very common occurrence in a human being's life that you will get to be part of a church when it's beginning.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? So if you're here today and in this stage of this the life of the church, you are in a very privileged very special position. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then the other thing is that not everyone has the eye and an ability to appreciate greatness in small things.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's very easy to see greatness in something when it's already big.
That's right.
When it's already great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you're the type who only recognizes greatness when it's already great, you know, you're not special because anybody can see greatness when it's already great.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't take any cleverness. It doesn't take any insight. It doesn't take any wisdom or special gifting to see something that's already pretty, that's already beautiful.
That's right.
Do you see?
Yeah.
But it takes special insight to be able to see something that's going to be great when it's not yet great.
Well, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's the difference between sometimes founders of large corporations and the people who work for them. Do you see?
Yeah.
Because they have an idea and they have the ability to see greatness in the idea when no one else can see greatness in the idea.
Yeah.
Most of the time the idea they build their business on has been has occurred to other people before.
Yeah.
But they didn't see greatness in it. You know, they didn't see greatness in going around and collecting empty soda cans and empty plastic bottles. You know, it's like picking up trash. They couldn't see how that can make someone a billionaire.
Yeah.
So they just walk past them. You know, but somebody comes along and he can see, you know, the empty cans, and he can see a recycling opportunity, and he can see that you can build a great business out of this, and then before long they are millionaires. And when they become great, everyone sends the application over there. I got a job here. You see what I'm saying? So when God chooses you and gives you this unique opportunity to be part of a church, something that he's doing, while the thing is small, if you have faith enough to believe in it and to catch on unto it, you become special.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's what I want to share with you today.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm already halfway through my message. So I'm talking to you today about the mustard seed.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
Which you can find in the book of Matthew chapter 13. The book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and from verse 31. Matthew chapter 13 and from verse 31. Okay. Now, Matthew chapter 13 is full of parables because in this chapter, Jesus is preaching and he's trying very hard to let people understand what the kingdom of God is like.
Yeah.
You know, now when you come from a place and you're talking to people, you want them to get an idea of what that place is like.
Yeah.
I mean, where you're coming from. You know, and those people haven't been there before, sometimes it's very hard for them to relate with what you're saying.
Right.
You see,
yeah.
If someone comes from let's say, a certain part of Africa, and the person is describing some of the features of the place. If you haven't been to Africa, or you don't have any African lineage, or don't have African friends, sometimes it's really hard to comprehend and to relate to what they're saying. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. So then that person is going to have to find something where you are, you know, which is like what they're trying to describe back there. Do you see? So that by looking at that thing where you are, you can get some idea, at least the best idea possible, you know, about what he's trying to describe.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? So here was Jesus. He had come from heaven, and he was now introducing the concept of the kingdom of God, which to start with, when he said kingdom of God, most of the people thought he was talking about a political kingdom. He was talking about the presidency, or was talking about some kind of kingship or a monarchy of some sort. And so they were looking for something physical. And so it took him quite a while to get them to understand that he wasn't talking about political power.
That's right.
That he was talking about a spiritual presence. Do you see? Which he called the kingdom of God, or the system of God, or the place where God rules,
right,
or how God goes about his things.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's God's world, how things are in God's world.
Wow.
So he started picking different illustrations and different things that will help him give the people the best idea possible of what things would be like if God was in charge.
Amen.
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 So when you read Matthew chapter 13, you see many examples of that. If you start from, let's say, if you were to go back all the way to let's say verse 24. It says, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. So can you see that?
Yeah.
You know, and a parable is simply a story that you tell which illustrates the point you want to make.
Wow.
You know, it's just that the story is a physical story and the point is a spiritual lesson. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you told them many parables. He taught them many things through parables. And so here he's telling them another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. You know, so he compares the kingdom of heaven with a man who sowed good seed in his field. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then you go to verse 31. Then he has yet another parable. Okay. So he said, this time, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. So the kingdom of heaven can be explained, or the kingdom of heaven is depicted by many different pieces of illustrations. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm sure you know the story about some blind men who were trying to describe what an elephant looks like. You know, and a number of them had gone around the elephants and they had tried to feel it. So each one was trying to say what the elephant looked like. So one said the elephant is like a pole. You know, and he was describing the power of the elephant he got to hold.
Yeah.
It's like a pole, the leg of the elephant. It's like a pole. You know, and then the one that got the tail said, the elephant is like a huge rope. You know, and then the one that got the trunk said, the elephant is like a long tube.
Wow.
You know, and they all had different descriptions, and they could even argue about it.
Wow.
See, sometimes you find people even arguing about things. One says it's like this, the other one says it's like that. Or sometimes they argue about the same of some matter. One says, this is what happened, this was this, this, and many times they won't tell you the truth.
Yeah.
It's just that They have a saying that your point of view depends on your viewpoint.
Yeah.
See, so you have a point of view that has been dictated by where you are standing to look at what you're seeing.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it takes more than one illustration for Jesus to help people understand what the kingdom of God is like. You see, so he tells them one parable. He says it's like a seed that a man sowed in his field, and then he slept, and so on. Then here, he's saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. See, now right there, some of the people must have been confused. Do you see? Because to start with, they were still trying to reconcile the idea of a kingdom that belongs to God, how big it will be. You know, and then suddenly he says it's like a grain of mustard seed. It's like a grain. Even if you stop here, that would be hard to comprehend. Because it's the kingdom of God. It's like the kingdom of God is like a grain.
Yeah.
How do you say the kingdom of God is like a grain when the kingdom of America is not like a grain? Do you see? The kingdom of Obama is not like a grain.
Yeah.
That's only one of the kingdoms in the world.
That's right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if the kingdom of Obama is this vast, then you would expect that the kingdom of God, who is the God of the whole world, will be much greater and bigger. So when you start talking about a grain, then the people are beginning to wonder, what are you talking about?
That's right.
Then when you go further to say it is the grain of mustard seed, you know, then now they're sitting up and just wondering if they're in the right meeting at all. Do you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
So to before they run out of the meeting, he quickly acknowledged with them, he said, which indeed is less than all seeds. I agree with you that it's the smallest of all seeds.
Wow.
I agree with you that it's not impressive. I agree with you that it's very tiny. I agree with you that it's very, very, very small. You know, then that relaxed them a little bit.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
By agreeing with them that the kingdom of heaven, or that the grain of mustard seed is very small, the people were a bit more relaxed. Then he went on and said, but when it is grown, do you see? He says, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs, and it becometh a tree, so that the birds of the heaven come and lodge in the branches thereof.
Amen.
Now at that point, the people must have relaxed and said, wow. And someone must have said, time will tell. Amen.
Amen.
But Jesus is telling us something here, and he's showing us how things are when God's hand is involved in something.
Wow.
He said, if God is in it, more than likely, it's going to be like the mustard seed. In fact, he said, it is like a grain of mustard seed.
Yeah.
You know, which indeed is less than all seeds. It's the smallest of all seeds. It's smaller than other things similar to it. Amen.
Amen.
When God starts something, often that thing is smaller than other things similar to what God has done. Amen. So you take a church, for example. You know, when God starts a new church, it is often very small. Isn't it?
Yeah.
When you take a baby, when a new baby is born, it is smaller than other things, other humans like it.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Yes, it has two eyes, it has two hands, it has two feet, it has one head, hopefully, and then one body, you know. It is just like that, but you see that it's a smaller version of what exists before it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, that is where many people lose God. Because we are not trained to be impressed by small things. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Our culture celebrates big things. Especially in Los Angeles. You know. You're only regarded when you're big. Everybody in Los Angeles wants to make it big.
That's true.
Everyone has a dream to be big.
Yeah.
Is that true or false?
Yeah, it's true.
Hallelujah. You know, yesterday I met a guy in a music store, and I asked him, what instrument do you play? And he says he makes music, you know. He says he makes music, so he doesn't really play an instrument. He says you can actually make a whole album.
Wow.
Not knowing how to play a single instrument.
Wow.
You know. So he said he makes music, you know. And so he says a little bit of guitar, a little bit of keyboard, a little bit of everything, you know, and put them together, you know. And
wow.
And he started talking about his website, and he said his music is on SoundCloud. And he was asking me, do I know SoundCloud? you know. So fortunately, I was with him, and I pointed to him and said, he knows SoundCloud. You see. But I saw that the guy was describing something which I'm sure I will find is not extraordinary, but in the biggest terms possible, because this is Los Angeles. See what I'm saying? Right. So he says that it is small when God starts something. You see? Now, if you don't have an eye for small things, you are likely to miss God. You are likely not to be a good candidate for walking with God. You're likely to miss lots of opportunities that God gives to you, lots of chances to be great, lots of blessings that God sends into the lives of His people. Do not show up wearing a label, this is a great blessing.
Yeah.
Do you see?
Yeah.
Some of the greatest blessings of your life, do not show up wearing a label, greatest blessing of your life.
That's true.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some of the greatest opportunities of your life don't come with a blinker. Bam, bam, people, great opportunity, great opportunity, great opportunity, great opportunity. Life would be so easy if it was like that. Life would be so easy if the great opportunities would come wearing a label. Great opportunity.
Wow.
You know, great partners, great people who would make great partners for life don't come wearing labels, great partners.
Wow.
And the worst ones don't either. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you want to walk with God successfully, and if you want to experience the blessings that God has for us, one of the things you need, according to this parable, is to learn to have an eye for small things.
Wow.
Learn to respect small things.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Because when you start celebrating it when it's already great, you're not doing anything special, because the dumbest person would celebrate it when it's great.
That's right. That's right.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
By the time everyone sees it, you know, if you celebrate it at that time, it will be too late for it to belong to you.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It will be too late for it to belong. It will be already taken. So it's so difficult sometimes to find a good job. Because when it's a good job, you're not the only one who wants it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not the only one who wants it.
Yeah.
That is why by the time you send your application, they tell you, well, we have 250 applications, you know, and some of them are from the East Coast, and they wake up 3 hours before you do. You see what I'm saying? So once they put the job up, let's say last night, you know, the job goes up like 6, 7 p.m., you know, they're already sleeping, and they'll wake up like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning when you have just gone to bed.
Man.
And they'll send all their resumes ahead of you. 3 hours ahead of the earliest one from here. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why it's so difficult to find a good job. That's why it's difficult sometimes to find a good person, because you're looking for someone who's already good. Do you see?
Yeah.
But those people who become great are people who pick up ideas, people who choose people, people who choose churches, people who choose opportunities when they are just opportunities and not the great things they become later.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Jesus said that, look, When it is grown, you see, so it means the difference between everything we are about to read here and everything we read here, the smallest of all seeds, less than all seeds, you know, the difference between here and here is here, which is time.
Amen.
You see, it says time. When it grows, it says it is just a matter of time. When it is grown, then the same thing that was less than all seeds suddenly changes and it becomes greater than herbs and it becomes a tree.
Wow.
So it means that if God set out to bless you with your dream, if God wanted to give you a tree, if God wanted to give you something that would become shelter for you, because it says, look, the birds of the air or the birds of heaven come and lodge in the branches thereof. If God was to bless you with something that would cover your life, something that will be a source of protection to you, something, because what do you think is the reason why birds of the air would be in a tree? Because they are looking for shelter.
Yeah.
Because they are looking for a place to make their nest.
Yeah.
They are looking for a place to raise their young.
Yeah.
They are looking for a place to go home to after flying about all day.
Yeah.
You see, now if God was to bless you with such a place that was to become home to you, a place that will become a place of comfort to you, a place that will become a shelter to you, a place that would be a blessing to your life, after you've gone around life and been battered and been sometimes discriminated against, and sometimes you've been tossed to and fro and disappointed and frustrated, there has to be a place that you can go to when it's all over. When the world is done with you, when they are done throwing away your applications, when they are done choosing other people over you, when they are done comparing you with others, when they are done firing you from the job, when they are done not choosing you for the promotion and doing all kinds of things, there has to be a place where you belong.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That is what this is to the birds. Because if you were a bird and flying around, your last hope at the end of the day is a tree to perch in. You see, because birds have a real hard time. Nobody cooks for them. You see what I'm saying? They have to wake up in the morning and go find food. I mean, and you fly in any direction to look for food. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have to go miles and miles.
And at the end of the day, you don't know whether you should spend the night there, come back tomorrow, or what. Then in the process, you have people throwing stones at you. You have people sending traps at you. If you're in Africa,
triple.
You see what I'm saying? In addition to being a pet that someone wants to cage up, another person wants to cage you up and eat you. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So the birds of the air have a difficult time.
Yeah.
And when they have escaped all these things at the end of the day, the place they look forward to is this tree. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, when God gives you something that will be that tree to you, it's not likely to show up in your life like a tree. That's the whole point of today's message.
Wow.
That when God gives you something that will be the greatest blessing of your life, it's not likely to show up as the greatest blessing of your life.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see, over here, he gave them something that was less than all seeds. You see, but what he had actually given them was the greatest of all herbs.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Wow.
He had given them the greatest of all herbs.
Wow.
Herbs have a way of bringing out the flavors in something. We use herbs when we cook because they help to enhance the natural flavors of something. Every human being comes with some natural flavors, but they don't come out on their own. You need some herbs. You need the right environment. You need the right company to bring out the natural flavors, the natural abilities, your natural giftings. You need the right environment for those things to come out.
Amen.
Wow.
And when God gives you the greatest of that kind of environment, it's not likely to show up like this is the greatest environment to be in.
No.
It's likely to show up as less than all seas.
Wow.
Then God is going to leave it up to you to be able to see through it.
Yeah.
And say that it may be small, it may not be impressive, but this is a great thing.
Amen.
And I choose it.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm
saying? Yeah.
That is how it is.
Wow.
Because God is not trying to impress anybody.
Wow.
God is too big, way too big, to bother with impressing anybody. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God is not trying to impress any of us.
Not
He is God, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God is like fire. I mean, fire burns whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
Fire doesn't need you to believe in it to burn.
Yeah.
It will burn anything it chooses.
Yeah.
And it will burn and burn until it feels like stopping. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, that's how God is. God is God all by himself, does not need any advertisement, does not need any billboards to be God. He doesn't need anybody to help him to be God.
Wow.
He is God and that's it. So he leaves it up to us to be able to see through those little opportunities that he gives to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you get a chance to be part of a church like this at this stage, you have been given an opportunity by God. It says, but when it is grown, it becomes greater than the herbs. You know, another thing I was going to tell you about herbs is their medicinal properties. Do you understand? That we use herbs as medicine. When God is giving you something that will be great medicine for your life, something that will be great medicine for your life, something that will put you back together when you fall apart. Something that would, one of the blessings of following the Lord since Psalm 23, it says, he restoreth my soul. You know, your soul is your mind, your intellect, your emotions, and many times it is your soul that interacts with the world.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear bad news, it affects your soul.
That's right.
When you read something terrible in the news, it affects your soul.
That's right.
When some relationship doesn't go as it should, it affects your soul. So your mind is messed up, your emotions are messed up, and you are all messed up. And the Bible says one of the things that the shepherd does is to restore your soul.
Amen.
Put you back together. Amen. Again. Put you back together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when he's putting you back together again, he does it in the house of God.
Amen.
Because the church is like a herb. It's a herb. It's like medicine. A message you hear in the church, some singing you participate in the church, some even the people you meet in church sometimes can be medicine.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. Someone meeting you in church and telling you you look good.
Wow.
When all night and all day, you have been thinking that you look terrible.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? You've been thinking that you are in your worst state. And then suddenly you meet someone who thinks otherwise. And not only do they think otherwise, they tell you that what they think about you is the opposite of what you think about yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says when it's grown, it becomes a tree. A tree. Something solid that can sustain your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when God gives you this great blessing, it's not going to come like that. God does not start from here. God always starts from here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God always starts from here. Amen.
Yeah.
So let me close by encouraging you and encouraging you to know that this church has started and may be small, may not be so impressive. You have a cable running from here. You don't know if it's a trap for me or not. You see what I'm saying? You see, and you have one box over there, then you have another table here and something. I mean, it's like, this is not how a real church should look. You see what I'm saying? But this is the grain of mustard seed, which indeed is less than all seeds. See, even when I was coming to church this morning, I was also just debating, should I wear a tie or not? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I was also thinking, I mean, this thing is a mustard seed. You wear a tie. I mean, it's not. You see what I'm saying? But I I realized that even I have to have faith.
That's right.
Wow. See, that even though it starts small, you see, it's not going to stay that way forever.
Amen.
Because the blessing is actually in when it is grown.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you notice how it says when it is grown. Not if it grows. But when it is grown. Because it's only a matter of time.
That's right.
It's going to grow.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I mean?
Yeah.
Most things that are created by God always have a small beginning. Great things have a small beginning. Look at the human being. I mean, a complex creation like the human being. Something that is so complex, it can make planes, can make ships, you know. It can make a plane and make the plane fly and stay in the air for 16 hours, and then they put it back down.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Wow. That's how good a human being can be.
Wow.
Are you getting it?
Yeah.
And yet, to make one of those, you have to start with one that is this size.
Mm.
It weighs 6 pounds. If God wanted to give you a 250-pound man, He's going to start by giving you 7 pounds. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, if you respect the 7 pounds, it's going to grow into 12 pounds, 15 pounds, 20 pounds, 25 pounds, 50 pounds, 100 pounds, 150 pounds, 180, then you know there's no coming back. And it's going to keep going and going and going. All depends on what you do with the 7 pounds.
Yeah.
Do you see? But if you have your eyes so fixated on 250 pounds, that when you see 7 pounds, you walk past it, you will find that it will take you a long time, if ever, to have the 250-pound person. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If people would have babies and look at the babies and say, thought I was trying to have a human being. This looks like it's a human being, but it's too small. You know? And so you leave the baby behind at the hospital. No, I don't want this. I want one that is like the husband I have at home.
Hey.
I want one that is like, you know, some of the grown-ups around the hospital. That's what I was looking for. You see, I was looking for someone to help me. Someone who can cook, someone who can clean. That's what I'm looking for. You see, not something that is crying all the time, crying for my attention, wants me to feed it and cannot eat the things I eat. You know, it's too much trouble. I don't want this. Anybody who treats a baby like that is not likely to get the help that they need, want. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, today we are blessed. You see, look at him. He's playing keyboard in the church and so on. But it's taken so many years. That's not how he came. You see, that's not how he came.
Wow.
You see, he came like that.
Wow.
7 or 8 pounds.
Wow.
And then patiently feeding it. And clothing it. Eventually, you find out that what God gave you in that 7 pound bucket was actually a musician, was actually someone that was going to help you, someone who was going to play for you. So that's what he gave you. The day he gave you that 7 pound thing, he had all of that in it.
Wow.
You see, it is respecting the 7 pound thing that eventually unleashes the power and the potential and the blessing that it contains. Are you
okay? Yeah.
So I want to encourage you to have faith in what God is doing.
Amen.
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 Believe in what God is doing.
Amen.
Believe that this is a great place for you.
Amen.
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 Those of you who are with us for the first time, if you don't have a church that you attend regularly, I want to encourage and strongly recommend this fantastic church.
Amen. Amen.
Although it is less than All Seats, when it is grown, it is greater than the heavens.
Hallelujah.
And it becomes a tree.
Amen.
It becomes a tree.
Oh.
It becomes a tree.
Hallelujah.
So that the birds of the heaven come and lodge in the branches. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll close by telling you one little story. When Jesus was born, the Bible says he was born in a manger. I mean, the King of Kings was born in a manger. As I told you, God is not trying to impress anyone. See, when we are having our babies, we're trying to choose one of the nice hospitals in town. Some people even choose the hospital because it's prestigious to have a baby there. So you want, you know, when your baby's born, you want people to come and see such and such a hospital, not one of those. We are going on to the hospital. We are not sure what we're doing. You see what I'm saying? They're not sure. So you want to be in one of those prestigious hospitals, but not when God was giving birth to his baby.
Wow.
He said the manger is okay because I'm not trying to impress anyone.
Yeah.
Then after that, he leaves it up to his people to respect what's in the manger.
Wow.
And to choose to respect it or not.
Wow.
So the Bible says he gave a limited invitation, because I told you not everyone can have an eye to respect greatness when it's in the manger.
Yeah.
So he gave a limited invitation. The Bible says he invited some shepherds who left their flock by night. See, when we sing the Christmas carol, wild shepherds watch their flock by night.
Yeah.
You know, they gave an invitation to those shepherds and invited those shepherds. Said, come and see my baby, even though it's in the manger.
Wow.
Then the next group of people, the Bible calls them wise men.
Mm.
You know, the Bible says wise men from the east. And they travel very, very far. Very, very far. See, because if you respect the baby, the distance will not be the problem.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
If the baby is precious to you, even though the baby is in the manger, if it is precious to you, how far the baby is or how far you have to go to see that baby will not be a problem.
Yeah.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So those guys travel, and they travel far away. And came to see the baby. When they came, they found the baby in the stable, and they didn't say,
That's why just
what a place. The Bible said instead they bowed down, they kneeled, they went on their knees, and they worshiped the baby. Do you know that if you were to kneel in the stable, you would be kneeling in soft stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing like a hammer.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
I mean, it will be soft, but a different kind of
soft.
Soft and mucky.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But these guys came and they knelt in the softness.
Mm.
Because they had an eye, they could see that it's in the manger today, but this thing is not destined for the manger.
Wow.
This thing belongs to the right hand side of God the Father Almighty.
Amen.
Starting like this, but its future is totally different.
Amen.
And they had faith and they could see it, and they could see it, and it didn't bother them.
Wow.
That they would come and kneel with their kingly robes in the manger to worship that precious being. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people will not go to a new church sometimes because it's meeting in a hotel room, or it's meeting in someone's apartment, or it's meeting in some place where they think a church must be in a cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
You see, as long as it's not in a cathedral with a steeple and a big cross in front and stained glass, I mean, we managed to stain our glass.
Didn't do badly at all.
Hallelujah. Then they do not see that this is a great place. But I pray that God will open your eyes to see the great blessing he has landed you in by giving you an opportunity to be part of what he's doing. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet and let's share a word of prayer before we bring the service to a close today. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
How many of you have learned something today? Have you learned anything today, Jesus Christ? You need to have an eye for small things.
Yes.
If you're going to be able to walk.
Amen.
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 Bow your heads with me, everybody. And I want you to say a prayer. Just pray for yourself. Thank the Lord for the opportunity. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. The opportunity to be in something new. Something that He has started. Something that is fresh and starting. Because not everyone has that opportunity. But God is giving you that opportunity today. And I want you to respect it and thank Him for it. Say, Lord, I thank you for this great opportunity in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for my blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this great blessing. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for giving us a new church to add to the work that God is doing in Los Angeles. Thank you for all that you're doing in this place. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share in this. We pray and we thank you for the growth that is coming. Thank you for all the people for whom you have ordained this church. All the people that you have destined to benefit from this congregation, to be blessed by this ministry in the city, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you pray, everybody has prayed that this church will be established as a church grow. You know, just lift up the pen to the Lord and just pray to the Lord. Let this church be established. Let your work prosper. Let your work be blessed. This work will go forward in the name of Jesus. Use that Lord to bring souls, all people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here this afternoon and you're saying that, Pastor, pray with me, I want to give my life to Jesus. See, one of the things about the church is that it provides an opportunity for people to have an encounter with God, for people to meet God. This is God's house. This is God's operational center. This is a place where God works on lives. But just like when you go to the hospital, you have to commit yourself to the doctor and then you can begin to work on you. In the same way, when you come to God's house, when you come to God's operational center, He needs access to you to work on you. But the Bible says our sins separate us. Our sins separate us from God and deny Him of access to us to work on us. And that is why we need Jesus. That is why Jesus comes in and washes our sins away with His blood. And that makes access to God possible. But Jesus cannot wash away our sins unless we ask Him to. We call Him specifically and ask Him to do it. And that's the opportunity I want to give you this afternoon. I want to give you the opportunity to invite Jesus into your life as your Savior. The Bible says all of us have sinned and we have fallen short of the standards of God. But Jesus died for us to take care of that sin. So there is no need for us to continue walking in sins. we can come to Him today by committing our lives to Him. So if you're here this afternoon and that is the prayer on your heart, if you agree with me, I want you quietly, while every eye is closed, I want you quietly to raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. This is a very private moment. This is a moment for my life. This is a moment for my relationship with God. And I want to take the opportunity. Remember, great opportunities do not come looking like great opportunities. And this is one of them. God has given you that opportunity to commit your life to Him, that you, He may come into your life and change and transform your life. So if you're here and that's your prayer, I want to pray with you. Lift up your right hand quietly and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? Lift up your right hand quietly and I'm going to pray with you. Okay. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Say, I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart.
I believe with my heart.
That you are Lord.
That you are Lord.
And I confess with my mouth.
And I confess with my mouth.
God raised you from the dead.
God raised you from the dead.
Come into my heart, Jesus.
Come into my heart, Jesus.
Please forgive my sins.
Please forgive my sins.
Cleanse me from unrighteousness.
Cleanse me from unrighteousness.
And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Help me to live for you, Jesus.
Help me to live for you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For coming into my heart.
For coming into my heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.